Today I want to continue a series of messages entitled Kingdom Clashes. The Kingdom of God versus the Kingdom of this world. The Kingdom of God versus the Kingdom of darkness. You see, God and world and the Kingdom of light and the Kingdom of darkness are two different kingdoms, diametrically opposed. Now, if you are a believer, you're a Christian, you belong to the Kingdom of God. That's the good news. You belong to the Kingdom of God. As a result, you no longer are a part of the kingdom of this world. It is no longer your figurative home. As a matter of fact, I like what the Bible has to say. As a matter of fact, not only like it, I love what the Bible has to say in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. The Bible says, now you are no longer strangers to God and foreigners to heaven, but you are members of God's very own family, citizens of God's country, and you belong in God's household with every other Christian. That is good news. You are no longer a foreigner to heaven, but rather you are a foreigner to this world if you have come to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. So today, as we think of kingdom clashes, the challenge for you and me today is right here. Be foreign. Genesis chapter 13 and chapters through chapter 19. Now the issue is this. Although those of us who know Christ belong to the kingdom of God, we must understand that we are still tempted to align with the philosophy of the kingdom of this world. So we face these kingdom clashes on a regular basis. The kingdom of this world says, be like everybody else. Be selfish. Be popular. The kingdom of God says, be like God. Be holy. Be different. The kingdom of this world says, live for the here and the now. The kingdom of God says, live for eternity. The kingdom of this world says, the most important things are the ones that you can see. The kingdom of God says, the most important things often can't be seen, but last for eternity. So you and I must understand that every single day that we live, there is this collision, this clashing of kingdoms. We belong to the kingdom of God, but there is that temptation to align with the philosophy of the kingdom of this world. Now today, we're going to continue with our study of one of the most historic and memorable figures of all of human history. His name is Abram. Later became known as Abraham. Last week we took a look at Abram's life and the clash of the two kingdoms that he encountered. For you see, the kingdom of this world says that greatness is associated with how much money you accumulate, how much popularity you attain, and how much power you obtain. Abram affiliated with the philosophy of the kingdom of God. He chose to align with that kingdom, the kingdom of God, that says true greatness is responding to God's call, God's plan, and obeying. Once again this week, we have another kingdom clash. Abram is one of the personalities. Another personality we're going to look at today is his nephew. His nephew's name was Lot. So this week's kingdom clash involves, number one, contrast. I want you to see the contrast between Lot and Abram. One was engaged in the kingdom clash and went one way, and one was engaged in the kingdom clash and went the other way. Letter A. Let's look at Lot. That's right. Lot. Here is the scenario. Remember last week, God called Abram. And he said to Abram, I want you to leave your lifelong home, your extended family. I want you to leave your job. God would reveal to him every day where he would go. He stepped out on faith. He believed God. Abram accepted God's assignment. Now, one member of this entourage of Abram's was his nephew, Lot. Now, according to Genesis chapter 13, verses 5 through 8, Lot and Abram both had flocks, lambs, and tents. As a matter of fact, they both had accumulated quite a bit of stuff. Well, it became a little bit too crowded. You know what I mean? You see, strife occurred among these family members. Has that ever happened to you? Some relative came to spend an extended period of time with you, and you enjoyed their visit for a while, and then after a while, there was some tension in the house, and there was some friction. You see, that happens when you have two families together for an extended period of time. As a matter of fact, it can happen in marriage too, can't it? Reminds me of Kathy and William in Plymouth, Michigan this past week. You see, they've been together for a while, and they had strife at the restaurant. Did you happen to read the story? They were sitting there, and they began arguing, and that argument escalated into a battle. And what did that Kathy do? She took her fork, and she put it in her husband's plate on her food, and then picked it up and flung it at her husband. Can you imagine the husband sitting there and all of a sudden a bunch of projectiles of green peas are heading your way? I don't know what she flung at him, but apparently it wasn't enough. She stuck her fork in that plate again and flung that food at her husband. He must have been a really big wimp. I'm telling you, he just sat there and took all of that food that came flying his way. Next, perhaps, came mashed potatoes that he'd right to snout. And then came some meatloaf that landed on the top of his head. Or maybe it was crab that went into his ear. Or maybe it was ground beef that went up his nose. But either way, anyway, his wife kept flinging his food right at him. Finally, it didn't satisfy her anger enough, so she took that fork and she went after him and stabbed him with that fork. Now, what's the story behind the story? Guys, when you go out to lunch today, take a big bib with you. Amen? Run for cover. Don't just sit there and take it. Head for the hills. Well, that happens when you have people together. There's going to be conflict. That happened with Abram and Lot. They were family members. They'd been together for a while. They were around these smelly animals. Maybe they were tired and thirsty and hungry. Their temper got the best of them. So Abram, Uncle Abram, had an idea. He said, "Let's split up. This ain't going to work. We're fighting, we're fussing, we're fuming. We're the same family, we're blood relatives. If we stay together, we're going to have a nuclear war." So what happened? Well, according to the Bible, Abram decided, yeah, let's part ways. So he gave Lot the option of which property to take. Now, verse 5 of Genesis chapter 13 has this to say. Abram said to Lot, "Is not the whole land before you? Please separate from me. If you take the left, then I'll go to the right. Or if you take the right, I will go to the left." Lot, the Bible says, lifted up his eyes and he saw all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, that is, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. And the Bible says the land was like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt as you go down toward Zoar. Then Lot chose for himself all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east. And they separated, the Bible says, from each other. What about Abram? You say, Mike, what about this? What about Uncle Abram? What about him? Well, the Bible says he dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain. And here it is. Listen to this, gang. Here it is. Here is the sign that Lot is affiliating with the philosophy of this world. The Bible says he pitched his tent even as far as Sodom. So, a huge contrast exists between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of this world. Lot chose to affiliate with the kingdom of this world. He made a bad decision. It was a selfish decision. He made a decision that was most beneficial for his life, his livestock, and his family, choosing the very best land. That's Lot's lot. Letter B, let's look at Abram's angle. Let's look at what he does. The Bible says in verse 18, then Abram moved his tent and went and dwelt by the terebinth trees of Mamre, which are in Hebron. And he built an altar there to the Lord. You see, there is the clash of kingdoms. Abram focuses on his relationship with God. He aligns himself with the kingdom of God. You see, seeking God reveals an unselfish character. Now, I want to show you several things today out of all of this. Number one, we read that Abram moved his tent and built an altar and right there called on the name of the Lord. Isn't it interesting that throughout this account that the Bible never depicts Lot calling on the name of the Lord? Here was a man who somehow jogged along from day to day without any personal quiet time with God. That was his major problem. Now, number two, when Lot made his decision about the land, he selected the well-watered plains of Jordan because they reminded him of Egypt. Now, you have to understand that in the Bible, when the country Egypt is used symbolically, it is a symbol of the world. Lot was a believer, but he aligned himself with the kingdom of God at this juncture in his life. So you see, kingdom clashes involves contrast. The kingdom of this world, the kingdom of God. Every day, you will face the clashes of these kingdoms, whether you will align yourself with the kingdom of God or you align yourself with the kingdom of this world. But number two, kingdom clashes involves choice. In other words, every day you and I are faced with a choice. Are we going to align with God and His kingdom? Or are we going to align with the world and the kingdom of this world? Well, let's take a look again at Lot and Abram. Letter A, Lot's choice. Now, in chapter 14, the writer gives the account of a breakout of a major war. I mean, this is a huge, huge war. Lot and his family were captured, and the possessions of Sodom and Gomorrah were seized. Then, Uncle Abe came to the rescue. Not only was he Father Abraham, he was Uncle Abe. He mustered a large army. He defeated the four kings. And he seized Lot and his family. And they were free from captivity. Look at verse 16 of Genesis 14. The Bible says, so he brought back all of the goods and also brought back his brother Lot and his goods, and as well as the women and the people. Lot was free. Now perhaps he had learned his lesson. You would think that being taken captive would rattle his cage. You would think that it would wake him up to reality. But think again. Look at chapter 19, verse 1, that gives us another indication of a man who's aligning himself with the philosophy of this world. The Bible says, now the two angels came to Sodom in the evening. And here's the key. And Lot was sitting in the east gate, or the gate of Sodom. When Lot saw them, he rose to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And you say, Mike, why in this world is that phrase, Lot was sitting in the gate of Sodom, why in the world are you getting so bent out of shape about that phrase right there? Well, let me explain to you. When the war was over and Lot was freed, he came back and the king of Sodom said, man, Lot, I really think a lot of you. I think you ought to be the chief muckety muck. I think you ought to be the grand poobah. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a high position in the government. You will sit in the gate. Why is that such a big deal? Well, in the ancient world, in any eastern city, business was transacted, decisions were made, and laws were enacted at the gate. In other words, the government met in the gate of Sodom. So now, the big king offers Lot this huge job with power, prestige, possessions, and popularity. So Lot must make a choice. Is he going with the kingdom of God, or is he going to go with the kingdom of this world? Kingdom clashes. The kingdom of this world says, be like everybody else. Be popular. Be selfish. But the kingdom of God says, be like God, be holy, and be different. Lot chose the former over the latter. He saw this as a chance to get into Sodom, to become a man of influence and position. God had just given him the opportunity to become a separated believer like his uncle Abraham. But instead, he responded with a backward pull to the world. Lot was in the company of those who despised and derided Abram's God, and he aligned himself with those who espoused policies of wickedness, filthy beyond human words. Lot made a choice to be like everyone else. He aligned with the philosophy of the kingdom of this world, and he aligned himself wholeheartedly. But letter B, notice Abraham's choice. The Bible says, now the kingdom of Sodom said to Abram, give me the persons and take the goods for yourself. In other words, the war had been won. Hallelujah. They all came home. Lot and his family came home, and they brought all the possessions with them. And the Bible says that Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have lifted my hand to the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth. You see, that was his heart, the kingdom of God. And in verse 23, this is what the Bible says. Abram said, I will take nothing from a thread to a sandal strap, and that I will not take anything that is ours, lest you should say I have made Abraham rich. You see, in the account of chapter 14, as well as these selected verses in chapter 16 through 18, Abram chose to align himself with the kingdom of God. Be different. Be like God. The kingdom of Sodom offered Abram the sky. Hey, Abram, you deserve all of these things here. We've captured, we've looted, we've got these valuable things here. Man, out of all of my appreciation for you and the fact that you saved my skin and you saved us from oblivion, I want to give you all of these things. All of these things. But Abram said, I have lifted my hand to the Lord Most High, the possessor of heaven and earth. What is he saying? I don't need your junk. I've got God. And when you have God, that's all that you need. So we find here that kingdom clashes involve not only contrast, but secondly choices. You see, ladies and gentlemen, hear me today. Every single day that you live, you're right there. Kingdom clashes. Are you going to align with the philosophy of the kingdom of this world? Or are you going to align with the philosophy of the kingdom of God? Now, I'm going to tell you something, and you better write it down and remember it. Here it is. Point number three, consequences. Consequences. You live with the consequences of your actions. Do you hear me? You live with the consequences of your actions. You make choices, you will face the consequence of your choices. I want to show you today. I want to show you today the consequence of Abram and Lot's choices. As, first of all, a warning, and secondly, as a challenge to your heart and life. So, Abram and Lot, you know, they made their choices. Lot, the kingdom of this world. Abram, the kingdom of God. So let's see the consequence. Consequence number one. What happened for Lot? His home and city were destroyed. Wow. Then the Lord rained fire and brimstone, or brimstone and fire, on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of the heavens. So he overthrew those cities, all the plain, all the inhabitants of the cities, and the Bible says, what grew out of the ground. What did Lot lose? You want me to tell you what he lost? He lost his popularity. He wasn't popular in Sodom anymore because Sodom ain't no more. He lost his popularity. He lost his power. It's kind of hard to have any power when the whole civilization's been destroyed. He lost his position. The gate was gone. He lost his possessions. Everything was burned up. But perhaps most tragically, he lost his own wife. Think of this. When you align yourself with the philosophy of the kingdom of this world, you will face the consequences. It will bring ruin to your life. Ah, but let's look at Abram, or Abraham. What was the consequence of his choice? Look at here. His home and country grew and expanded. I love these verses. And the Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him, lift your eyes up now and look the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, westward. For all the land which you see, God said, I will give to you and your descendants forever. Lot's land was burned up. Abram's land would be given to he and his descendants forever. And God made this promise, I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth. Now, what does that mean? Well, if you pick up, reach down to the ground and pick up dirt, how many granules of dirt will you see? I mean, you can't count them all. If you want to count them, that's your business. I ain't about to count all that clump of dirt and all those little seeds. I've got more important things to do, like watch basketball or baseball or football. Those important things in life. But he says, I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth. So that if a man could number the dust of the earth, then your descendants also could be numbered. What he's saying is, it's impossible. Lot was wiped out, and Abram flourished. Arise, walk in the land through its length and its width. God says, for I will give it to you. Then in verse 18, then Abram moved his tent and went and dwelt by the terebinth trees of Mamre, which are in Abram, and built an altar there to the Lord. I think I'd have done the same thing. You've got to give me all that good news. I think I'd have said, yeah, well, it's time to worship God and sing glory, hallelujah. He reigns. Let her be. That's not the only consequence. There are other consequences. Consequence number two. Let's take a look here. Lot, his children were evil. Now, in Genesis chapter 19, verses 30 through 38, there's an account of Lot and his children. Now, there are younger minds in this worship center today, so I'm not going to be very graphic. But I do need to tell you what happened, what transpired with Lot and his two daughters. To put it very bluntly, Lot's two daughters got him stone drunk. I mean to tell you, Lot was so drunk, he had no idea where he was at. He was worse off than Otis Campbell staggering into the Mayberry jail and reaching for the key to get himself in the cell. I think that Otis, however, had more sense than Lot. They got Abram's two daughters got him drunk, and then after they got him stone drunk, they both had a sexual relationship with their dad. Now, quite a legacy for a father to leave behind. Lot's alignment with the kingdom of this world had consequences not only for his life, but also for his children. I don't know about you, but I think of the phrase, how frightening. Abram, however, in the kingdom clash, aligned with the kingdom of God. He wanted to be holy like God. He wanted to be different. The consequences? Let's take a look. Abraham, or Abram, through his bloodline, his family, came Jesus Christ. Matthew 1:1, the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Talk about stark contrasts. Talk about stark consequences. Do you hear me today? Do you really understand the consequences of and the dangers of aligning with the kingdom of this world? Lot lost his family. He lost his possessions. He had his two daughters. Look how they turned out. And look at Abram. He aligned with the kingdom of God. And look how God blessed his land, blessed his family, and blessed his legacy. Number three, letter C, that is, the third consequence. Lot remembered as a worldly compromiser. His life did not make a difference. When you think of Lot, you think of a compromiser. Someone who had one foot in the kingdom of God and one person who had his other foot in the kingdom of this world. What a tragic legacy to leave. Ah, but look at Abraham. He is remembered as a man of faith, Genesis 15:6. And the Bible says, according to Romans 4:18, he became the father of many nations. His life made a difference. Now, two kingdoms, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of this world. Two men, two stark contrasts, two startling choices, two separate consequences. The question is this: what about you? What about you? By the lifestyle choices that you make, who are you aligning yourself with? What kingdom are you aligning yourself with? And finally, do you realize the consequences of the choices that you make? Let us pray.